Hi, my name's Steve, and for the past 19 years, I've been part of one of the best communities on the planet, the military community. I served 4 years as a soldier when my wife Heather and I joined the Army to pay off some student loans. And when I got out, I became a full-time military spouse. I transformed into Mr. Army Wife. Through all of the moves, deployments, and different opportunities and struggles I've experienced, the one thing I'll never forget are the other military spouses I've had the pleasure of meeting. They're amazing, and I want you to meet them too. On today's episode, I'll introduce you to Kim, Bree, and Stephanie, three Army spouses I get to call my friends. It's the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast, and it all starts right now. Hey everybody, it's Steve, Mr. Army Wife here with episode 8 of the podcast, Mr. Army Wife and Friends. I'm really excited. We're going to jump right in because I've got three great ladies joining us tonight. Ladies, I get to call my friends. First up, we have Kim Blake. Kim is a friend of mine from the Virginia Commonwealth, as it loves to be called, and I met her while Heather was stationed at Fort Lee. Kim, welcome to the show. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you're doing in Virginia.
Well, I am Kim, as you said. I am a labor and delivery nurse. I live just outside of Fort Lee, but my husband, who is in the National Guard, is stationed at Fort Pickett, which is in Blackstone. So we are just here living our best life. We just bought a house and are in the process of selling our house and doing all the things.
Yeah.
Raising two boys.
That's right. You're a boy mom.
Yes. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Very good. I'm excited to chat with you because I know that you're our first National Guard spouse to be on the show. So that's, you're going to add a different perspective. You're not a fraud. We'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. Second is Bree Keister. Bree and I met at Fort Leavenworth, and Bree, I've got to tell everybody, we went on a cruise together, didn't we?
Yes, we did. That was fun times.
It was amazing. Actually, three couples, Heather and I, Bree and her husband, and another couple, all went on a little spring break jaunt through the Caribbean, and it was a lot of fun. We had a good time. So, Bree, just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and where are you guys at now?
We are actually in Colorado, near Colorado Springs. We're kind of out in the boonies here on 40 acres in a city called Cowhan, and I've been an Army wife since 2007. Met him when he was enlisted, went through ROTC, got commissioned, and so far through this life, we've had 8 moves, 2 little girls who are 11 and 9, and many animals along the way.
Perfect. And last but certainly not least, I met her last year, 2019, here at Fort Knox. We serve on the Spouses Club board together. We're both exec board members now, which is exciting for us this year. And just loved getting to know her and her family. It's Stephanie Strand. Stephanie, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
So, as Steve said, we met last year. This is our just third duty station together. We'll be here for about another year before we head off to Fort Polk. We have been married since 2014. We have 2 kids together, a little girl and a little boy, and I'm a nurse practitioner. So my job, it gets really interesting when we have to move around.
But you were teleworking before teleworking was cool.
I was, yeah. So I was lucky enough to have a job that was portable that kind of went with me wherever. So that's been nice, and hopefully that will continue.
Very good. I know you're excited about Fort Polk. You're the one.
I am. It's all about experience.
It is. That's true. Well, we'll start our questions with you then. We're going to have a great conversation tonight. And since you're excited about Fort Polk, I'm just going to ask you, what has been the best thing about being a military spouse for you?
I think the best thing is probably the travel. I would have never in my life thought that I would live in upstate New York with winters that brought 4 feet of snow for 3 or 4 months. I didn't think that I would live in the Mojave Desert, and I didn't think that I would live in this part of Kentucky. I'm from Kentucky originally, so it's really nice to be back home, but I don't know that I would have chosen those other places if it weren't for the Army.
Did you guys get to see a lot of things, and did you have a good time at those places?
Oh my goodness, it was amazing. Fort Drum, I kind of found my people. I still connect with these ladies on a daily basis. We had a lot of fun. There is wine country up there, and not a lot of people know about that. And Canada was amazing. And then at NTC, you get 4 days every month. So we traveled every single month. We were all over California, Nevada, Arizona. We went to Hawaii. It was a lot of fun.
Good. I'm glad that you found travel to be one of your favorite things. How about you, Bree? You've been around for a little bit longer than Stephanie has. What is one of your favorite things about being a mill spouse?
I definitely agree with Stephanie. It is about the travel. I came from a little town where my dad's a hermit, and joining Steve and doing this, moving all around, it has been wonderful. I never thought I would be this far west before. We've been to New York, Wisconsin, Missouri, and we've also lived in New Hampshire, which was one of my favorite places, absolutely. A lot of places I never would have been before if I hadn't married a military spouse.
Kim, you've got a little different perspective. Obviously, travel is not going to be one for you as a National Guard spouse, so what do you think is one of your favorite parts about being a military spouse?
Y'all gonna think I'm so shallow. I don't hate the military discounts, especially when Home Depot is life right now.
That's true, because you are trying to renovate houses and you're buying a new one and stuff like that.
I mean, for me, you know, my husband's, he's a firefighter in the Guard. So for much of our time that we've been together, his guard duty was very much like his work. He would go away for 24 hours and come back. The first 7 years of our marriage, every third day he was gone for 24 hours because that's how firefighters do. So guard duty wasn't anything different for us. That's changed and looks a little different now because he's been with the RSP, which was where he would be gone for entire weekends. But we knew about that ahead of time so we could plan for it. So yeah, like the benefits for me, I enjoy the military discount. What can I say?
I love that you think the discounts are great. I mean, that's part of, you know, I mean, I don't expect them, but they do.
Yeah, help I mean, out. I don't either.
You know, they do help out a lot of families at a lot of times. And I think we're going to get into some of that when we talk about our article a little bit later on about some families in the military that definitely need some help with that stuff. So what about Bree? Let's go to you. What have you learned about yourself as a military spouse?
I have learned many, many things, but one of the most exciting things I have learned about myself is that I can change. I can deal with change. We move all the time. We're meeting new people. We're getting thrown into everything. And I definitely agree with, you know, these things are exciting, but another great thing is that you're thrown into something you have no choice and you basically, it's do or die. So I'm just learning about myself more and more that I can do this. It's new. It's different. And we're going to start all over again next time we move. And I'm strong enough to handle it.
What do you think has been one of the biggest changes that you've had to handle?
My career. I always thought I would be a musician full time. And with this moving every few years, I'm a musician. So you can't get a spot on an orchestra as soon as you move somewhere. No one knows you. And a lot of that stuff is by word of mouth. So I've just kind of had to learn and adapt. Now I work at a dog shelter and I've done crafting. Been a craft vendor. There are just multiple hats that you wear.
For those of you listening, Bree is an amazing oboe player, and she has figured out a way
bassoon.
She's an incredible bassoon player.
Okay.
Yeah. Incredible bassoon player.
Okay.
Tell everybody how you combined your love of playing the bassoon with your love for animals, because I thought this was incredible.
I worked at a shelter in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and I just fell in love with working with animals that need homes. So when we were moving to Colorado, I decided I want to do this again. And I found from Facebook this little video of this place called National Mill Dog Rescue. And as soon as we moved here, like 2 days, I think, into the move, I called because they were needing employees and I got a job. And I didn't know what puppy mill dogs were really like until I got there, and I'm still learning. It is an incredibly hard thing to learn, but people are abusive to animals and they just breed and breed and breed. And basically these animals come in, they don't even know what a toy is. They don't know what a bed is. They don't know what it feels like to be pet for the first time. So I thought maybe they could listen to some music and have a little bit of therapy that way. So I started taking my bassoon to work with me. It's really neat, some of the reactions.
Basically, you started playing your bassoon for the dogs, and I'm sure some of them loved it and some of them thought, what in the world is really going on here?
Yeah, some of them danced and twirled around in their kennels, and a few of them just stood there and stared at me.
Well, very good. I'm really glad that you found that outlet for your music and for your love of animals and are, you know, working through that big change in your life. How about you, Stephanie? What is one thing you've learned about yourself in the last 6 years as a military spouse?
I think that resiliency definitely sticks out because I have, you know, dealt with as a newlywed, you know, my husband being gone a lot and then a deployment on top of that. Trying to have a new career, you know, I just graduated, trying to take care of the kids kind of on my own. And that's hard. That's hard for all of us, you know, and not having that immediate community support. And, you know, it's just, it's hard, but we're resilient and I'm resilient and my kids are resilient. And, you know, also kind of, you know, I stepped out of my comfort zone. I didn't have a clue what any of this Army lingo stuff was. What these groups were, what these clubs were. There's still a lot that I don't know, but I just kind of stepped into it. I volunteered and put myself in some uncomfortable situations to really grow as a person.
Kim, how about you? Have you learned anything as a military spouse, or do you feel like that's kind of hard to do in your situation since you're a National Guard wife and you're staying where you are? You really haven't had to change careers or anything like that?
Yeah, I think in one of our conversations, I kind of said that, you know, with so many different hats that I wear personally, you know, as a wife, a mother, a nurse, you know, I feel like Army wife is very low on the list. You know, I feel like I'm a fire wife before, you know, I am a Army wife. So for me, it is a very different perspective. I have more notice when he's going to be gone and it's for shorter periods. So it's easier for me to deal. But I mean, there's definitely been times Ray had left for a class when our baby was like 6 months old. And I was like, really? Like now you need to go? So that was hard to deal with and get through, but he was able to, you know, he made sure I had all the help that I needed. And
yeah. And you have your parents live in town, your in-laws, yeah. Right? Everybody pretty much lives there, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause yeah. Again, you know, a different perspective. We're at home. So mm-hmm. We have family near us, lots of familiar faces and people that we trust.
That's definitely makes a big difference. Cause I know like Bree and Stephanie, you have your parents are a little bit closer now, right? Because you're in Kentucky and you're from Kentucky, but it's still 3 hours away. And right now with all the travel and stuff, that's kind of upended. That's kind of hard. But what was it like for you from your perspective with the kids and stuff being at Fort Drum and not near those parents?
It was kind of scary. It was kind of scary, you know, but I found my community early on. There was a point during deployment where we moved from off post to on post. And of course, you know, the Army doesn't cover that move. So we had some amazing friends who just stepped up and soldiers who stepped up and moved an entire 4-bedroom, huge house onto post, you know, at the drop of a hat. People were watching my kids. I was still going back and forth to work. It was an amazing experience. It was difficult, you know, at the time. It seems very stressful, but it was an amazing experience.
Bree, how about you? How has been being away from home? I mean, you said your dad was kind of lived as a hermit, so this is a whole different experience for you.
Yes, it definitely is. We are the furthest away we have ever been. We're about 24 hours away from our family, but I am no stranger to kind of doing it all myself, and it is hard for me to ask for help. So I usually find any type of college student that lives nearby that has maybe a degree in childhood education, and that gives me a little bit more of a comfort, and they watch the girls for us, and we've been really, really, truly lucky to have amazing girls watch our kids that we can count on and help out. But for the most part, we have nobody nearby.
What has been your biggest struggle in the Army as a mill spouse?
I think the biggest struggle is definitely trying to make new friends. You can go out there and put yourself out there, but when people are so used to living where they're at and they're already settled, they're not in search of friends, but you are. And so sometimes it's hard to get your foot in the door. And we're in a very small town. Everybody's very close, knows everybody. And I feel like the brand new kid at school that no one wants to talk to. So it's actually my job at the dog rescue has made some of the closest friends I've ever had, besides Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, with you, Steve. That's the hardest part, but you just keep pushing.
Stephanie, how about you? What has been your biggest struggle as a military spouse?
I think that the biggest struggle is the change in environment from installation to installation. We went from Fort Drum, where he was gone a lot. They do a lot of training. There was a deployment. They come home, they train. So we really relied kind of on our community support. We were with 1st Brigade there. The women there were phenomenal. It was just a wonderful group. But then we went to NTC, to Fort Irwin, and his work schedule was different. He was home, you know, for that 4-day, and then he was gone for about 2.5 weeks. And then we move here, and he's home all the time and not training. So it's really hard to get your kids in that rhythm of dad's home, dad's gone, you know, when's dad coming back? You know, it's difficult. It's hard as a parent.
Yeah, Kim, that's kind of something that I thought you might have issues with too, because your husband leaves for 2 weeks once a year. He leaves for a weekend every month, you know, and you've got two little boys running around the house wondering where dad is, probably.
Well, again, it goes back to the not the typical guard wife either. He is a firefighter in the guard, and he's a firefighter in real life, quote unquote. And so when he's in the guard, he is responsible for doing a 24-hour shift at the station. And so what would usually end up happening is he would go for the weekend. So he would stay for 48 hours and he would be on the clock for all of that time. So instead of having 2 8-hour days, he would have 48 hours for the weekend. Some of that time would count as his 2 weeks. Rarely did he have to do like 2 consecutive weeks. It was usually like a week in February usually, and then, you know, days. Each month he would do a day of ATI, I think. The 2 week part. I'm such, like, I'm not even a typical guard wife because the way that, you know, his schedule is.
Has he ever had to leave to go and do something? To go do a mission?
He's never been since we've been together, he hasn't been active duty. The longest he's been gone consecutively for the guard was the class that he took. And so I think the hardest part for me is just like balancing him wanting to get some rank and whatnot, and the requirements of extra classes that require being gone for longer periods. And I'm like, at this point in our life, why didn't you want to do this 7 years ago when I would have gone with you happily?
How do you think you would handle that now if he all of a sudden had to go somewhere for 4, 5, 6 months or a year?
It would definitely be a challenge because I would want to go with him because I am a travel bug and I would want to go. And I would feel like I was being left behind while he's off on his adventure.
I agree completely. Yeah. Completely. My husband deployed before we had kids, and he hasn't deployed since. But when he's gone, I want to be with him. I want to see what he's seeing, do what he's doing. So that is hard.
I think he has a dream of teaching at, it's actually an Air Force base in Texas that they do the training. And he dreams of teaching there someday, and I would love to do that someday. But again, you know, we have 2 small kids right now. Our parents are both getting older, so it's hard to balancing being encouraging, but at the same time being realistic.
Stephanie, do you ever feel like he's, when he's off doing deployments or whatever he's done, training or anything, do you ever feel like, man, I wish I was there doing that same stuff?
No, that's his time. He can go and do what, that's his job. I have my job. I do not want to be in those locations. I miss him, but it's almost easier kind of when they're gone to just be gone and get in your routine and get in your rhythm, because if they're there and then they're back and then they're there, it just kind of, you know, it throws everything off. It's not predictable. You know, Army life is not predictable by any means, but, you know, we get in our grooves when they're gone and they come home and everything's wonderful.
Once you have that adjustment period of them coming home.
Right. Right. And it's always an adjustment period, you know, because you get used to doing things a certain way. You know, the kids are all in routine and schedule, and you and your friends are doing stuff all in routine and schedule, and things change. And it's hard, you know, to add back a dynamic that was gone for 9 months, you know. So there is an adjustment period, I think. But we're all super happy when he's here and when he's home. And we've definitely been spoiled this past year here at HRC.
Last question in this segment, ladies. Stephanie, I'll start with you. Or actually, Bree, I'll start with you. What would you change about being a military spouse? Or what would you change about the Army to help you as a military spouse?
I think I would maybe suggest that they do more spouse gatherings, more clubs, more groups, more opportunities. They have to be started by spouses themselves, but if they had, that would be wonderful, because it is really hard to find something that, you know, everybody has in common with you if there's only one or two, you know, options like Unco and coffee and that's it. You know, like if they did like a craft group or, you know, anything, a book, you know, book clubs are great, you know, more opportunities.
I think you would be pleasantly surprised with what's happening at Fort Knox right now.
Yes.
We have 16 different sub clubs now.
That's amazing.
We have really pushed the envelope.
And you probably started all of them.
I started the bourbon one.
Go figure.
Oh, my husband would love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I started that one. So what about you, Stephanie? What would you change?
So I think I speak for all the parents who have ever had to register for Parent Central Services and do CYS registrations, that it be the same across the board. So that at every post, you're not going in and having to complete additional paperwork because the systems are all different. It's just a hassle. And I think if they had a centralized sort of enrollment for every installation, that would be ideal. I don't know if that's something that could ever happen, but it's very frustrating at each post that we, you know, that we go to. And a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, you would think that if our medical records can be online and can go from post to post pretty easily without being paper transferred, that we could figure out how to do it for CYS and all that stuff too.
You would think. Other than that, I wouldn't change anything. I'll take the good, bad, and the ugly, but that would certainly be helpful and a lot less stressful when you come to a new installation.
That's a great, great point, Stephanie. Paperwork is a hassle.
Kim, I don't know if I should ask you what you would change, because I don't think you would change anything because you don't really deal with it. But what,
again, let's, fraud.
I think we need fraud. To, you're not a fraud. You are a military spouse. You're just a different military spouse.
Yes.
What is something that you maybe don't utilize that you would like to utilize? What is something that you've seen?
I think I would like to utilize more of like one post things, you know, just like the commissary, and I do like the PX. I've gone there several times just because you find different things there.
Well, ladies, do you have questions you'd like to ask each other or anything else you'd like to talk about during this segment? I'd love to give you that opportunity.
I want to ask the moms of boys. How is that moving around so much with boys? Because well, you each have, you know, you have two boys, Kim, and then Stephanie has one. I have girls.
Well, since I don't have to do the moving, I don't really know, but I could say that just the move that we're getting ready to do in our personal life, Colton's excited. My oldest is excited. My youngest is just one, so he doesn't know any different.
My son is so different than my daughter. My daughter is very dramatic and theatrical. She's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But she, especially at this age, really struggles with the moves now because she's meeting friends and she's 10. So, you know, she has her core friend group and then it changes every 2 years at this point, you know, or potentially less. So she struggles with it. My son is 4, so he doesn't really care, but he's also very happy-go-lucky and go with the flow, and he could care less what's going on in the world as long as he's got his toys and his family. He's a happy kid.
He's a real dad's kid too, isn't he?
Oh, he's such a daddy's boy. So, he was born during my husband's last deployment. So it will be very challenging when he has to go again. It'll be really hard, both for my husband and for my son and my daughter, but definitely for my son.
Hey friends, Mr. Army Wife here. Coming up next, Stephanie, Bree, and Kim discuss our weekly hot topic. But first, I want to ask you to do me a favor. Subscribe, rate, and review the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. I'm interested in hearing what you think, and I want others to know we are always looking for new friends to join the community. Your reviews can help them find us. Plus, your comments can let me know how I can do better as a podcast host. Please share the podcast with your friends as well. They might need to hear some of the great things my friends are saying. Thanks.
Well, ladies, thank you for sharing your stories. We are going to move on to our article. The article comes from militarytimes.com. We will have the link to the article in the show notes for everybody. It was written by Leo Shane and Joe Gould, and the title is something very exciting for us. Troops would see 3% pay raise, more child care and family support programs under the House plan. Now, we need to make sure that everybody knows right off of the top, this is what's being proposed by the House of Representatives. There is also a proposal coming from the Senate. They will get together. They will debate. So everything that we talk about tonight might not be in the actual budget for the 2021-22 year. So please, everybody, know that from the top. This is not what's going to pass. But we do want to talk about some of the things that are in it. It does look like the 3% will pass. It's the same in the Senate proposal that's coming out. So that part is good. I think for some of the younger troops, it's probably not enough. It looks like they're trying to address that in this. And they're also talking about doing some other things in this bill. And ladies, I think we probably should focus on that stuff a little bit more. They're talking about a new military domestic violence task force and making sure that leaders collect information on basically racism and white supremacist activity in the active duty force. Ladies, what did you think of the article? What do you think about some of the proposals that they have put out there?
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing more about it and what comes to fruition. I think that, you know, as spouses, we learn to be excited about things, but not to get our hopes up about things. I think that 100% they need to address what's going on, you know, within the troops. You know, is there racism? Is there white supremacy? Because this, number one, is ridiculous and something that, you know, shouldn't happen anyways. But at the same time, you know, having, you know, our soldiers are people that you're supposed to look up to, you know, and to have people like that in the service is not okay. So I think that it definitely needs to be addressed. You know, if that's true, it needs to be addressed 100%.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Bree, they also talked about domestic violence as being something that they need to come up with a task force for. I know that domestic violence is one of the concerns that people have with us being all quarantined at home, not just military-wise, but out in the civilian world as well. Is that something that I am not personally heard a lot about that, but do you think that's something that needs to be addressed in the military?
Yes, I definitely think that's something that needs to be addressed in the military. You hear a lot of stories, you hear of people getting beat up or officers and wives having scuffles and just the littlest things are happening and people are keeping quiet about it. And you do your best to just hope and pray that everybody's okay, but we need to crack down and figure out what we need to do to make it more aware and addressed. So I'm definitely glad they are going to hopefully get a task force going on that and explore that more.
One of the things I saw also in this was that they are suggesting that victims and perpetrators of sexual assault and domestic violence within the academies, I guess it wouldn't be domestic violence, but it would be more assault at the service academies. They will have to keep both the victim and the accused separate until the investigation is complete. But they are saying that they would both continue their studies. Do you think that would work? I don't understand. I don't know how that would work.
What do they do now?
Yeah, that wasn't really addressed in the article. And yeah. I don't know if it's something that I don't know.
It's such a tricky subject. Because you've got two sides to every story and the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. Sometimes. I don't know. Like, I think it's hard to, you don't want to punish someone until their side of the story has been heard. But at the same time, if someone has been assaulted, like, they can't be with that person. They can't continue to see that person on a regular basis and put themselves at risk physically, mentally. They can't be expected to perform at top notch if they're carrying that burden and stress.
And it's not like these service academies are large places where people yeah. are going to be separated for long periods of time. So hopefully, if they do that, they'll figure out a way to get the investigations done quickly. And everybody needs to have due process. Obviously, we're innocent until proven guilty yeah. in this country. But yeah, that one's a tough one.
Yeah, it definitely needs to happen quickly. Sure. It doesn't need to be drug out for weeks and weeks.
Does anybody have anything else in the article that they liked? I know there was some child care stuff in there. That doesn't really concern me, but you guys, for sure it would.
I thought that portion was interesting. I think it spoke about some 24-hour childcare options, which at most Army bases, you know, a lot of people have CQ or staff duty, and they're supposed to be there for long shifts that aren't necessarily, you know, 6 or 6:30 until 6 or 6:30 at night. You know, even if a soldier has a family care plan, doesn't always work out, you know. So I think that that would be an asset to have. I don't know how they would go about staffing that when a lot of times it's difficult to staff these child care centers anyways. So it will be interesting to see if that happens, and if it does happen, how they manage that.
Yeah, I know Fort Jackson has 24-hour child care now, mostly for drill sergeants, single parents who have to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning and may not get home until 11 o'clock at night or have to work overnight because of exercises and things like that. Bree, any opinion on the child care stuff?
I think that they definitely need to seek out doing 24-hour care, but I also read that they're thinking about letting people that are going to do in-home daycare on military posts, they're going to give them house preference before others. And I think that is great. I mean, yes, it kind of stinks for other people, but at the same time, we were very short on some of our posts for in-home care on base. And it is really hard to get all your ducks in a row so that you can set that up.
When I was working at the hospital closest to Fort Lee, we would have, you know, moms come in labor, and like, I had a couple that like literally one was like her other child was more or less with a stranger, like with it. She had just moved to the area. She was in labor. Her kid couldn't be up there. So she was with a neighbor, and she had just met this neighbor a couple days ago. So being able to have someone that you trust take care of your kids so that, you know, you can do what you need to do, whether it be work or go have a baby or just have time to yourself, because that's one thing I give y'all all the credit for, being able to manage the household and uproot and reroute so many times. I can't imagine having to do that and then shuffle everything or be in a position to be the only provider. And then again, not being able to go do your appointments and have a moment to yourself. So I think that's great that they're trying to look for more creative options supporting the families.
It's stressful. It's stressful, you know, being a two income house and trying to arrange childcare. Today was my son's first day back at daycare since COVID happened. And so they've got a couple classrooms open up. He's at the CDC on post. And I give props to all the garrison commanders, to everybody that's kind of running the CDCs. I think that they're trying, and Big Army is trying to help out. But I think it does take a lot of us, you know, a lot of military spouses kind of standing up and talking about it and saying, hey, these are problems. How can we solve them?
Speaking of coronavirus, that was in the article as well, because it looks like at least some of the committee members want language in the bill that would make sure defense officials have the diagnostic equipment, testing capabilities, and personal protective equipment, that lovely PPE we've heard so much about, necessary to protect members of the armed forces from the threat of infectious diseases. I don't know about out in Colorado or in Virginia on Fort Lee specifically, but I know here they've done a pretty good job in our area, and especially on our post, of having that stuff and of keeping us all safe. I think that is more that we've done a pretty good job of keeping ourselves safe, but the post definitely had a plan and stuck to it. Do you think that needs to be something that, I don't know, is that something that we, are they responsible for that? I don't know. It seems weird for that to be in there, I think. Maybe.
Somebody's got to own it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think that's just it. Like, nobody knows who this is supposed to fall under. So who's going to claim it? Who's going to foot the bill for it? It's interesting. It's a time that none of us have lived, you know, we haven't done this before. We haven't been through a pandemic like this before. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how that comes out, you know, and who takes ownership for it and what the new normal is going to look like in the future.
My husband's facility has done amazing things to prepare for this and to continue to keep everybody healthy. They take temperatures daily before they enter the building. They were teleworking. They started letting limited numbers in the building. And so far, everybody's been really healthy. And I think maybe they're looking to us because we are so regimented and so organized I mean, we're military, we have to be, that maybe it would be a great thing for us to kind of take charge, because, you know, it's something big that happens and they always call in the military when big things happen.
Well, anything else on the bill? I know there's so much in here. We really hope that everybody will read the whole thing. And more importantly, guys, read the thing, find the Senate's version as well, and then write your congresspeople, you know, let them know what you think is important to go in the defense bill. Because as much as the 3% raise is great, there are people that are struggling. There's a part about military families having to be on food stamps, having to be on WIC, having to get school lunches for the kids and things like that. So these are all concerns. If the members of our military are under the poverty line, we've got to help them out and do whatever we can for them. So maybe that's something that needs to be discussed a little bit more as well.
That's sad. That's sad. You know, people struggle. This is my second marriage. My first marriage, he was in the military also. And there was a time, even as a nurse, that we struggled. You know, he was an E-4 in the Army, later joined the Navy. And I remember struggling paycheck to paycheck, you know, even working myself. So I really empathize with people who are in that position now. And I wasn't aware of resources, you know. I was also proud and thinking that I wasn't going to utilize those because I didn't need them. But, you know, I think that people should, you know, sign up for these extra things because they're doing something that a very low percentage of the population chose to do, you know. So I think that they're very well entitled to every benefit that they can get. And I would hope that, you know, if there is somebody listening that needs these services, you know, that they will push their pride aside and take what is theirs.
Hey friends, it's time for our question of the episode. What is something you'd like to see included in this defense bill that could help service members and their families? Think about it and email me at MrArmyWife@gmail.com or join our community on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Mr. Army Wife and Friends. Thanks. Well, now comes the time in the show that I love to hear everybody's words. We're on hotel. It's our hotel week. And so we are going to find out what everybody's hotel words, adjectives, starting with the letter H that describe military spouses to a T. I'm going to start with Stephanie tonight. What is your hotel word?
We're helpers. I read a quote kind of during the beginning of this pandemic, and it said, you know, when bad things happen, look for the helpers because they're always helpers. And not only throughout this pandemic, but every single day we step up, we help other people. It doesn't matter if, you know, it's a community member, another spouse. I know Steve recently took a dinner to somebody that I don't even know if he knew. You know, it was just someone who was in need, and I thought that was amazing. You know, we step up and volunteer at our husband's work, not necessarily because we have to, but because we want to. You know, if there's something that needs done, we get it done.
Yeah, definitely helping and doing what we can to make sure that others aren't having struggles. I think that's one of the most important things that military spouses do. Yeah, you mentioned that family. They just moved here. They were quarantined for 14 days because they came from overseas, and so they couldn't go to the commissary. So we took them some meals.
Yeah. And I know, you know, another neighbor got groceries for them and bringing them things to do. And I just think that that's, you know, a wonderful thing. And it's really kind of a tribute to military spouses, you know, that we step up and we kind of take care of our own and everybody else too.
That's true. Kim, how about you? What's your word for us this week?
Well, I've been going back and forth and I'm still sitting here looking at the adjective list, but I keep coming back to honorable. So many times I think, you know, our soldiers get the honor and the glory because they deserve it 100%. But I think spouses deserve it too, because they're holding down the fort when, you know, our spouses are away and, you know, we're managing the household while they're away. And when they come back, we are welcoming them back. We're helping them manage whatever they've brought back with them and loving them despite the changes that they undergo on deployments and the stress. And we're honorable too.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of the Army values. Honor is one of the Army values. And I think that as spouses, we have to try and uphold those as much as we can. And we, you know, I think military spouses are honorable in the way that they handle some of the most difficult situations that can ever happen to people. So yeah, I love that word. Mrs. Keith, Keister, how about you?
My word, I loved Helpers and I went through Honorable as well. But my word I chose was hilarious. I think you need to laugh in the situations that we are thrown at. You need to laugh when negative things are happening. You need to laugh when your husband's gone and your kids are making messes, and to find the humor in situations and lighten the moods, because you never know what the next day is going to bring in this life.
Yeah, that's for sure. Are you going to tell us a joke?
Knock, knock.
Oh, who's there?
Dwayne.
Wayne who?
No, it's a Dwayne.
Oh, oh. Dwayne who?
I'm going down the Dwayne.
It sounds like she's going down.
It sounds like, yeah. Now we're dead. Yeah, Bree, you are definitely hilarious, and I have loved your humor over the years. Definitely have provided some moments of laughter in not only my life, but in everybody that you meet's life. And I think that's important for us to do. I love making people laugh in all kinds of different ways. And so I have a word for you too. My word is not an adjective either, Stephanie, so don't feel bad. My word is that military spouses are the heart. They are the heart of their families. They are the heart of the military. I really believe that. They are what keep things going and moving. They are what keeps us beating. They're what keep their soldiers happy and loving and kind, and everything that the heart is supposed to represent, that is what military spouses are in my mind. I definitely love all your words. Helpers, honorable, hilarious, and I believe that all of that contributes to military spouses being the heart of our military and of our lives. Anything to add, anybody? Anybody want to add anything about anybody's words?
I loved all the words.
One more thing we have to do, and here you go. So what advice would you give to a brand new military spouse, or what is one piece of advice that you have gotten from a military spouse that you think is really, really good? And I'll start with Bree.
I think the best advice is just to go in open-minded and be ready to receive and accept all that everyone around you has to give, because they're all in similar situations.
If I could tell my earlier self, I would say go in head first, just forge ahead. I would have maybe encouraged some deployments and maybe pursued that avenue more. I mean, if you're going to do it and if you're going to love somebody who is going to love the Army and be in the Army, you got to dive head first. You can't be wishing you were somewhere else doing something else.
I would just say embrace it. Embrace it. If you get orders to Fort Polk or Fort Drum or Fort Irwin, you say, okay. And you love it, you know, you find those positive things about those areas and you find your tribe while you're there. And if you don't like it, change it, you know, change it. Find your people, go out and explore, don't sit at home, you know, experience life. Life's too short to sit at home and complain about something.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me tonight on the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. You have been great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. A special thanks to Bree, Kim, and Stephanie for joining me. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know. Email MrArmyWife@gmail.com, and don't forget to tell us your answer to our question of the week. Join us for the next episode of Mr. Army Wife and Friends when I introduce you to more of the great military spouses I've met throughout the years. I want to thank Heather, my dear soldier, for making all of this possible. My name is Steve. I'm Mr. Army Wife, reminding you to be the change you hope to see in the world.